Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This scripture from the 15th chapter of Luke is easily one of my favorite texts in the entire Bible. And not that my opinion matters much, but I do believe that this chapter of Luke's gospel could be read over and over as a summation of the gospel of Christ. And as the good news always seems to be, it is full of surprises. For one, it's dripping with irony. In this chapter, Jesus tells three parables depicting lost things: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then a lost son. And it begins with this wonderfully ironic declaration. The Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, of course, they're grumbling because the religious leaders are trying to keep people from sin, to try to keep the church and the faith clean, free from known and public ruffians or those who have appeared to shun faith or not take it seriously or haven't lived well or maybe perhaps merely haven't experienced and seen things the way everybody else does. And Jesus comes along and is hanging out with the wrong people. And while this is a source of consternation for some, especially the pious leaders, ironically, of course, it is the great joy of the gospel. Jesus the Christ welcomes sinners and eats with them. And he does to this day. He does it still in Mount Olivet Lutheran Church. Every time we gather as a body, whether in person or virtually, Jesus welcomes us, you and me. And what a joy to know it. We can carry our whole entire self into Jesus' presence, not just the good and clean virtues we have, not only dressed in our Sunday best, but even our ragged and rough and torn duds. Even with our ragged and rough and hardened hearts. And he continues to say, "Welcome, friend. Take a seat. Let's have a meal." I often wonder what people think when church signs say, "All are welcome." Because inevitably, I think there might be people who will not be welcomed by others attending any church. And surely we try, which is why church signs say it. But it's difficult to be truly welcoming to all. I know I struggle with it sometimes. I wonder sometimes if perhaps a more honest sign might read, "Join us. We'll try our best to welcome all, but most importantly, we believe Jesus will keep working to squeeze us all in." That's the gospel. As some of you will know by now, I love to encounter God's humor. And the story of the lost sheep is one of the best for it. Jesus begins by saying, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" And I imagine what the response to that might have been. I'm guessing it might have been this. The truth is, of course, no shepherd in their right mind would ever leave 99 sheep in the wilderness to go and search for one. It just doesn't make sense. If that happens, any good shepherd knows to cut your losses. One sheep on its own in the wilderness won't have much chance. The predators would be on it promptly. And not only that, but you'd risk the safety of the other 99. Last time I checked, also, one sheep does not make more sheep, but 99 do. Cut your losses. Keep the 99 safe. But Jesus pushes on. He says, "When the shepherd has found the sheep, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" Nobody would do that, Jesus. You'd be a questionable shepherd, except, of course, the good shepherd, the Christ of heaven and earth, would. Some might call it stupid. Others might call it pretty wasteful or downright offensive, laughable even. If you think about it, we might understand why some people, upon hearing Jesus talk like this, would have walked away. This guy has no idea what he's talking about. He has no idea how the world works. But of course, Jesus knows very well how the world works. He knows that in this world, we cut our losses. When push comes to shove, we're posed with a question between our own security and the security of a tiny minority. Christ knows what decision and path we might often choose. So Jesus isn't necessarily dumb here, but one could certainly say his take on things is dangerous in a way. It's dangerous because Jesus' vision for us somehow kind of threatens our notions of the world. The parables he tells and his actions on his path continuously call our views into question. Jesus imposes and institutes a new reality where every sheep will be tracked down and brought into the fold. Jesus, the good shepherd, won't stop. He just doesn't give up. There's too much love in it for him. I think Jesus tells the story knowing how we might commonly tend to act as a shepherd. I know it for myself, certainly. For instance, I know how I would react. At first, I'd be disappointed in that dumb sheep. Why didn't it follow in line behind the others as sheep are supposed to do? Why didn't it go along with the nature of the rest of the sheep? Of course, also that kind of leads me to ask and blame myself as the shepherd, too. After all, if I'm the shepherd, whose fault is it finally that a sheep was lost? Whose fault is it that one sheep's life is under constant threat? And who has finally said that that sheep's life didn't matter enough to make sure it was with the rest of the flock? Perhaps the parable is threatening to us, or at the very least, challenging. God has charged all of us with tending to all God's people. We are sheep ourselves, of course, under God's care, and yet we've all been deputized to be shepherds. And so when even one of God's people is left behind, abandoned, oppressed, held down, either intentionally, systematically, or even unintentionally, who should God blame? This shepherd, this Christ, this Jesus does a new thing. He knows all sheep to be under his care and of his concern, and he will not rest until all of those sheep are brought safely into abundant life. If this story doesn't break each of us into a new reality of what love looks like, or challenge any of our preconceived notions about how the world works, or perhaps cause us to question the long-held assertions that we carry, well, maybe we could keep reading it over and over again. After all, this story is meant to transform us. It's meant to give us visions of God's world of love and God's economy of gracious action. In this particular day and age, the story perhaps should challenge us to take account of our own convictions and question if there may be another way or other ways to bring love and meaning to others that we haven't perceived before, especially to work for the security of that one. Of course, this perhaps happens best by each of us realizing for ourselves that you are that one. You have a Christ who seeks you out, who has sought you out, who welcomes you at table, who deems you beloved and worthy enough to never give up on you. And that, dear friends, is worth rejoicing with all of our neighbors. And so too, then, it's worth doing for others. And so Jesus says, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go searching for that one? And when he has found it, carries it home and rejoices with the entire flock and all the neighbors. Thanks be to God. Amen.